Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
We want the Rhema word that is alive. We want to be changed in our hearts. We want to be more like Jesus, because that's what he's called us. God created us for Jesus. Hallelujah. I in them and they in me. Loving each other so that the world will know that we are his disciples. Amen. Well, my message is called, I figure I put a label on, the love journey. The love journey. Now, I know most of you guys know that this last year has been a really one of the most difficult, best times of my life. Difficult, best time, the most painful time that I've gone through. Maybe I've gone through pain before, but since this was recent, it seemed like it was the worst. But God is a good God. And I'm going to go back and from the beginning of when it all happened to me. And I'm just going to tell you that, you know, I had pain in my body, pain in my stomach. I really couldn't eat. Every time I would eat, I would have a lot of pain. And it would be excruciating pain. And it would only last for like 2 or 3 minutes. But if I did, I thought it was some type of gas. If I thought it was something else, you know, I mean, I thought I was having a heart attack. I knew it was air bubbles. But if I didn't know it was air bubbles, I would think I was having a heart attack, because I couldn't hardly breathe. It was just really, really bad. But as time, and it started happening once a month to maybe once a week, and then it started happening every day, and every time it would last longer and longer and longer. The pain got so intense and so bad, there was nothing that I could do to stop it. You know, usually when our bodies are in pain, we know maybe I need to run a little bit more, drink more water. You know, I don't really take any type of pain or medication, but usually we know our bodies and we try to fix our bodies. But in this thing, I could not stop this from happening. I could not stop this pain. I did not have control over this pain. Why do we wait to surrender when we're out of control? Why? Why do we do that? And the pain was so bad. And I know one time it happened here. The last time that it happened, it lasts like 2 or 3 hours. Crawling on the floor. You know how you crawl on the floor. Marquise was here and he saw me in that. I try not to let anybody see me in that type of pain. And he was like, man, I've never seen my mom in that type of pain before. But there was nothing I could do. And when I got home, I would just fall on the floor and I said, Jesus, please, God, touch me, heal me. God, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. I'll try to be still, but you know how I am. I'm always moving. God, have mercy on me. This pain, take it away now. God, please, please. Now, I know the word of God. I know how to stand on the word of God, stand on his promises. I was fighting, coming against every attack of the enemy, standing on God's word. But sometimes excruciating pain causes you to oh God, just have mercy, God, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. In that whole process, I had to surrender. There was no control. God, I surrender. I surrender whatever I've done, whatever I need, I surrender to you. Please have mercy on me. See me right now. Pour your spirit. I need you, God. I need you. There was nothing Harold could do but just watch me crawl. I go to the back room and I just, God, have mercy. And I stay, I'm not going to leave God until this pain goes away. After a couple hours, it would go away. Then I'd be just wiped out. But I was afraid. I was so afraid. I was afraid of that pain because it was so fierce. I was afraid. God, thank you. The pain is gone. I thank you so much that I don't have that pain right now. Thank you. But God, please don't let it come back. Please. God, my emotions were all over the place. My mind knew the word of God. My will was that this is going to get better. And so I just had to really pray. So the pain brought me to surrender and to seek after God. Like I said, I was standing on the promises of God and fighting against every attack of the enemy and doing all that I knew to do in the word of God to point to just mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. And then to surrender to God and try to hear his voice, because this is happening to me for a reason. And I need healing, but so maybe I can't hear. Maybe I can't hear. So God, open my ears so that I can hear you say, tell me, what do I need to do? What do I need to do, God? I'm desperate to hear your voice. You know, it's always a good thing when we surrender ourselves and ask God to help us to hear. Then I got afraid and I says, but God, give me a heart that when you say something to obey, because if I'm not going to obey, but then don't let me hear at all. The worst thing is to hear God say something and don't obey. So I said, God, give me a heart to obey whatever you say. So give me a heart to obey and then speak to me. Because I don't want any more problems. I don't want any more trouble. I can't help myself. I can't fix myself. So why do we wait to surrender to God when we're out of control? Don't you know we're out of control anyway? We just think that we are, but we're out of control. God is in control. And then I finally begin to hear God speak. It's a great thing to hear God speak. And he said, let go of a lot of the things that you're doing. I'm like, well, God, okay, let go. But what am I doing? Because I don't really hardly do anything anyway. We don't hardly watch TV. We don't do, you know, only we watch old movies that don't say bad words and stuff. We watch football, basketball season, you know, and on our iPads, you know, we play Word with Friends and games and stuff like that. He says, put that away for a while. Movies, I like to buy movies when I find them on sale on iTunes. He says, put that away. And I says, okay, but I really didn't want to put it away. Huh. And I found that I'm stubborn. I said, something's wrong with me, God. I'm stubborn because I don't want to put it away. And I would put some away, but didn't hang on to some. And I knew I was doing this. And I said, God, there's something wrong with me. Because you're asking me to put it away. And I'm trying to rationalize, but did God really want me to? Did he all of that? I'm thinking these things. But then I remembered the pain and I'm like, oh, no, it's not worth it. Let it go. Let it go. And then God, I began to pray and ask God to give me a heart to hear and obey him and to wash and cleanse me from my selfish, self-centered ways. My desires, my wants, my likes. Take it out of me and fill me with your desire, God, because it's only God's desire that's going to come to pass, you see. And in doing this, I realized that I had a lot of, I don't know a lot, but I had fear in my heart. And I had hurt and pain in my heart. I had no idea. God always knows. I had no idea that I had all of these things in my heart because I get along with everybody. And, you know, I feel like I have no problem with anybody. But I always noticed that when people would pray for me, they would say, Anna, you need to relax and receive Jesus, receive the work he's done. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, I am relaxed. What more can I do? But there was always something that was hindering me from really receiving all that Christ wanted to do in me. And I couldn't, in my mind, I didn't know what position or what I needed to. I receive. And the Lord began to tell me that I need to love other people. That was the next thing. And I says, yeah, well, I do, because I'm always Martha-like, running around doing things. And Harold told me, you need to take time to talk to people more and different things like that. And I try to do that in my own strength. I would try to do that, but it would never last. And then I begin to pray. You guys are here on Wednesdays all this year. We've had this Bible study. And I said, well, God, I need to love people more. Would you put in my heart more love for people, more love for people? And I would begin to pray, help me, because I can't do it. We can't do it. It takes the grace of God to put the love in us so that we can love other people. I can't just make my mind, okay, I'm going to start loving. It don't work that way. It takes God's grace. That was the next step. That was like in April, May, June. And then you know what he said to me? The next thing I heard him say, Annis, you've lost your first love. Oh, God. Because you see, from 2018, November until June, I'm waiting for my miracle. I'm saving my money for the doctors. And I said, well, God, if you heal me, I'm going to take all the money. I had $2,500. I'm going to take all that money and give it to the Lord. So I was excited to give that money to the Lord. But I'm like, God, every time I go to the doctor, it's getting less and less. So, oh God, hurry up and heal me so I can go to church and say, see, because remember, we were praying for everybody that time to be healed. And we feel like God is going to move and do a healing. What's taking so long? I'm thinking, okay, but he's speaking to me and he says, you've lost your first love. Oh my goodness. And then I thought about it. I said, this is true. I have lost my first love. I'm not excited about things. I'm not excited about sharing Jesus with people. When I go to the store, I'm not looking to see who I can be a light shining to. I'm trying to figure out how I can get the best deal, how I can get the things that I need. This is what my mindset was. And so God said, you have lost your first love. I said, well, God, please put your love back in me so that I love. And he said, then the next thing he says, I need you to love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. So then basically, God, circumcise my heart. Circumcise my heart, God. And then the next thing he revealed to me is, Annis, the reason why I can't fill you with my love is because you have anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, hurt, and pain. And I'm like, what? Where did all that come from? Where did all that come from? And he began to show me that when we have unmet expectations and it doesn't happen, sometimes that hurts us. When Harold and I were expecting to win a case and be victorious in the case so that we can have money so that we can do X, Y, and Z, we're looking, and then it doesn't happen. Oh, that kind of stuff hurts. When you've had your best friend's husband die, it's your best friend, you love your best friend. You go to the hospital and she says they're going to unplug him, but we're going to be there praying that God will cause him to live and to be able to breathe on his own. And you're in there with about 12 or 15 people, and with all the faith that you can, Jesus, life, health, and strength, Lord, and he doesn't make it. It hurts. Then later you find out that half the people were in there were praying that he would hurry up and die. Anger sets in. And you get mad. All that stuff goes into your heart. People do you wrong in the past and you have forgiven them. And he says, I forgive them, let it go. But it hurts. It still hurts. And it has a way to get into your heart because you know why? Because, you know, for some reason, we try to keep ourselves from being hurt. So we try to bite the bullet. That's what my husband used to say, you know, when something wasn't right and, you know, I didn't like it, he said, bite the bullet, stop it and just bite the bullet. But we try to bite the bullet. We try to say, okay, we try to protect our hearts. So next time when a family member dies, it don't hurt so much. It doesn't hurt us. We're tough. But, you know, we do not have the capacity to protect our hearts. Only God can. But we have to know to ask him. Say, God, this hurts me. Would you heal this hurt in me? Jesus, heal my heart. Touch me. Comfort me. It's too much for me. I can't take it. Comfort me. I never, until 5 years ago, maybe I started asking God to comfort me when our family members would pass and die and stuff like that. It would be devastating. And the way our family handled things, it would just add on to just confusion. It would just make you, it makes your head just feel like it's about to explode. It would just be so terrible. And I started praying, God, I can't take this. Would you comfort me? And you know, that's the first time I realized that God is a comforter. He really will comfort you when you're going through something that is just devastating. But I never would ask God to heal my heart because I didn't know I had a heart problem. And I had to begin to ask God, God, heal my heart. So I began to ask him, take your, Lord, do surgery on my heart. Holy Spirit, help me not to quench you or resist you. So do a work in my heart. Go in there and cut out all the excess fat and all the excess, the hard things that hinder me from receiving God's love so that I can love him with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that I can love others. And that's where my prayer was on. And remember, we were here. We need to love others because then we'll see the mighty hand of God moving when we love one another. We need to pray and ask God to circumcise our hearts so that we can love one another. And even though I was asking God to fill me with his love, I didn't feel any change. I'm like, man, what's wrong with me? I don't feel anything. I don't feel like I love God. Ugh, I've been a Christian, I don't know how long. I don't feel like I love God. I'm like, what's going on with me? This is a love journey message. I don't feel like I love God. And God was saying to me, even though you don't feel it, I'm doing it because you're asking. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. When you ask according to my will, and God's will is for us to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love one another. So I was persistent, says, God, fill me with your love. I am glad to say that I can feel God's love. I feel him in my heart, loving him more and more. And I'm asking God, more, more. I need more, more, more. Jesus, more, more, more. I need so much more. Jesus, more, more, more. Every day, Jesus, more of you, more of you. Why? Because eternal life is everlasting. God is eternal. His love is eternal. It's just not God fills us and then it's done. He pours upon us more and more of his love because it never ends. It's a continual thing. And he began to say, you know, Anna, this is a continual relationship. You and me, I and you, and in Jesus, a continual love relationship that constantly flows every day, more and more and more. And that's why we ask God, more, God, more. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. God, more of you. So that God, when you see me, really, 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 you see Jesus. Get rid of Anna's faith. My ways, my way. See Jesus so that when I see like Jesus. When I hear like Jesus. When I touch like Jesus. When I speak the rhema word, life. Life that continually to go and go and it never ever stops. You see, Jesus saturates us with the Father's love as we abide in his presence. He meets us with love when we worship him. Every time we worship him, every time we pray, every single time we open our hearts in faith, Jesus is there, ready to fill us with more of the Father's love. Hallelujah. So we set up barriers in our hearts when we try to protect ourselves from being hurt. We don't have the capacity to do that. We have to surrender. Go ahead and pull up precious 1 Peter 5:6-7. one of my memory verses. You see, I have 119 memory verses, and I say them every day at nighttime when I lay down in my head. I go over them, and I've been doing this for years. That's probably why I thought I was okay. But it's just more than your memory scriptures. It's the Rhema word. It's the growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is his love growing in you daily. And I had been stagnant and did not even know it. And it says, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And this is it. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God, during this time, has let me know how very much he cares for me, how much he loves me. Jesus loves me. And he says, come unto me. And this is Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, when we try to love other people in our own strength, basically it's just dead works. Legalism, and it doesn't work. But when we allow the love of Jesus to love in us and love through us, that's the faith that produces fruit. Because faith works by what? Love. And that's God's love, not this world's love. God's love. Faith working by God's love. Because without works, with faith works by love, but without works, faith is dead. So you see, you got the love through the faith to do the works, and it produces fruit. And also in James chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, it says, my brethren, and we don't like this, my brethren, count it all joy. What? When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And in the NLT, it says, such love has no fear. Oh, no, that's a different one right there. Because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. So fear, when we have fear, and I was so afraid of the pain, I realized, well, God, if your perfect love casts out fear, I need your love. I need your love. I need your love, God. Because we're going to go through trials and tribulations, and we'd never like to hear that. But it is a journey. Every time we go through anything in life, it is a journey. It's a journey so that God can reveal to us his love in that journey. If you've never had a father, I didn't have a father raising up. I had seven brothers, so they're kind of like fathers, but I didn't have a father. So God is my father. But I don't know what it means, like Marquise is holding the little fella like that. I don't know what it means to be at that age. Well, yeah. Sitting on my dad's lap. Because my dad did come around every once in a while to give us money or to take us someplace, but I was terrified of him because my mom said he was the devil. So if he's the devil And one day I saw him in the middle of the night coming down the hallway with horns and a pitchfork. I was 2 or 3, and I saw him. And I said, Mom, the devil is coming down the hallway. And she said, oh, go to sleep. That's just your dad. So I thought he was the devil. So I didn't know anything about the Father's love. But see, during this time, God is showing me how much he loves me. He's showing me his Father love toward me. The journey that I am on right now is knowing God as my Father and his awesome love for me. That's the journey. I know him as my healer because I've been healed in times past. I just wanted it to hurry up and get over with. Enjoy the journey, because during the journey, you're going to learn so much about God. If you need him to be your provider, enjoy the journey when you don't have any money. We don't have enough. Enjoy the journey because he's going to meet the need, and let him fill you with his, like she said, his perfect peace through the journey. Let patience, hallelujah, have his perfect work so that we will be entire, complete, lacking nothing. Only God's love can do that. And because like Harold and I, now when finances get low, and I don't even think about it. First of all, with the pain came, you know, when you get sick, you don't know if you're going to stay here or not, or go to heaven. You know, that kind of stuff don't make a difference. It doesn't matter. It's no big deal. But I don't worry about money anymore, because God has shown me that he is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. And the love that he has, I know that he loves us so much that he is going to provide for us. So I don't have any fear. That's his perfect love as a provider for me. A counselor or a friend. Maybe you don't have a friend and you need to go on a love journey with God so that he can show you that he is your best friend. It might hurt being in relationships where your friend that you thought your friend said something or whatever, those things hurt. But God is that perfect friend. And once you experience him as being your best friend, no other friendship relationships will really do you too much harm. It's still going to hurt. But then you can say, oh, God, that hurt me. God, I cast this out. I cast this on you because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. You see, we have to put it all on God, because this is why Jesus came. This whole walk is about love. It's about God's love for his own only begotten son. We were created for Jesus to share in his inheritance. All that Jesus has belonged to us. I and you and they and me. Let me get to that scripture. Hallelujah. A real love for others will chase those worries away. Hallelujah. John 17:26. Hallelujah. John 17:26, it says, and this is the NIV, it says, I have made you known to them, this is Jesus, and will what? Continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. It's just a constant relationship, and it more and more, it's eternal. Eternal, like you said, it's not, eternal is not like when we go to heaven. Eternal is now. The kingdom of God is now. His love is flowing through us and increasing in us now, more and more and more. From the very beginning of our walk with Jesus, his heart has always been to reveal the Father to us in a personal way. He wants to take us beyond just learning about the Father and bring us to a place where we experience the Father. Jesus does this by revealing or making known the Father, the name of the Father, to us. The name of the Father is more than just Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, or God. In Scripture, a person's name speaks of their character and nature. Therefore, when Jesus says that he will continue to make the Father's name known to us, he is promising to continually help us to experience more of the Father's nature of perfect love. It is a journey learning to know God in each trial of our lives. We must remember that it is not the destination that we look forward to, but the experience of the reality of God's love in each of these journeys. Each journey shows us more of God's characteristics of how much he loves us and how we are to love him. So what area in your life, what journey are you on today? What journey? Is it for God to be your healer, God to be your provider, God to be your friend, God to be your father, God to be your counselor? Whatever that we are going through now, God wants to be revealed to us of his character. Jesus wants to reveal to us God's character of how much he loves us in each and every one of these areas. God is our all in all, and he's ready to do it. And so we're going to begin to pray. And if you have any words, if you want to be led by the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit, words, whatever you have, if you need prayer for something, we're going to pray. Let's allow the Lord to use us, because we do not want to leave here the way we came in. We've already been changed. But if you want more and more and more, raise your hand. More and more. More God. More of you, Jesus. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want more. Touch us, Jesus. Circumcise our hearts. Remove the barriers, the pain, the anger, the self-righteousness, the fear in our hearts that hinders us from receiving your love, God, because we can't make it without you. We can't make it our own strength. We need you to comfort us. We need you to heal our hearts. We need you, God, to fill our minds with Jesus. Touch our physical bodies, God. Surge our bodies with your love. Surge our hearts, every one of our organs, our blood system with your love, your perfect love that casts out fear, because sickness and disease cannot abide where your perfect love abides, oh God. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We love you, God, and we receive your love. We receive your love in our mind, in our emotions, in our conscience, in our will, in our subconscious. We receive more of you, Jesus. Because we don't want to be the same. Change us. Change us. Change us. And the reason why we keep on asking, because we really, really want you to change us, oh God. We are tired of just saying things because it's the Christian thing to say, the Christian thing to do. Lord, we need more of you. So breathe upon us right now. Heal us, touch us, move, speak in us, speak through us, oh God. By the power of your Spirit, we release you to have your way. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. He loves
to. We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.